This is Capital Insider, your weekly look inside Oklahoma politics and policy. I'm Dick Pryor with eCapital News Director Sean Ashley, who has been racing around the Capitol the past few days to try to keep up with a flurry of bills. Sean, Thursday was the first major deadline day when bills had to be reported out of committee to advance. What struck you about what moved on and what essentially died?
Well, what I was expecting to see were certain bills that had the support of major legislators move forward, and some of them didn't. For example, a bill was filed by Senator Roger Thompson, who's actually a candidate to be Senate President Pro Tem in the next legislature, that would have required the legislature to do line item budgets. It had a couple of high-powered co-authors on the Senate side as well. That bill didn't even get a hearing in the House Rules Committee and will be dead for the remainder of this legislative session. We saw something similar in the House, where bills with sponsors of individuals who are in leadership simply didn't make it out of committee.
Does the committee deadline action provide any kind of an indication about where the session is going?
I think that it does. What we saw in the Senate, for example, was that they are still looking at ways of generating additional revenue without raising taxes. We saw on the House side the consideration of some measures on sort of the social agenda, particularly gun bills, which seem to be expanding gun rights and the opportunity to carry guns in Oklahoma, sort of a move away from where the rest of the nation is going.
Agencies are taking another cut for the rest of the fiscal year. What does the House bill that did that, signed by the governor, do to the three agencies that were running out of money by around the 1st of May?
Well, it's both good news and bad news for them. Of course, they lost large chunks of money when the tobacco cessation fee was found unconstitutional in August. And through a series of appropriations and then moving money around, they get a lot of that money back. But at the same time, they take a combined cut of about $14 million, just like the other agencies were asked to take in order to make the budget balance.
And that's the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services, DHS, and the Oklahoma Healthcare Authority.
That's correct.
With another shortfall of almost $168 million expected in the next fiscal year, are lawmakers looking at more cuts to fill that hole, or is there a chance that they will raise some revenue?
Well, I think they're looking at moving in both directions. Over the course of the last week, as bills were heard in particularly the House Appropriations and Budget Committee and the Senate Appropriations Committee, we saw a number of bills which would have imposed various spending reduction schemes on state agencies. Surprisingly, a number of those bills did not pass. They are beginning to look towards writing the fiscal year 2019 budget. Whether that will involve cuts to state agencies or whether it will include some sort of new revenue plan, we're yet to know for sure. One thing is certain, though, in both the House and the Senate, we saw bills approved which would ask voters to change the number that is needed in order to approve revenue-raising measures in the House and the Senate. We will probably see something on the ballot in November to address that issue.
To reduce the 75%, possibly down to 60% needed to pass a revenue-raising measure.
It could be 60%, it could be 66%, two-thirds. It just depends on what number they finally settle on.
It's not all about the budget at the state capitol. There's been some controversy about changes in the PASTOR program. What's that all about?
The controversy began in the House of Representatives, where a letter from Representative Chuck Strom, who oversees the program, was made public. That letter indicated that members had to select a pastor from the congregation that they attended. What we saw as more information was developed was that there had been some invitations issued in the past to others, such as an imam, and that those individuals had not been allowed to serve as pastor or spiritual leader of the week at the state capitol. Later in the week, the House changed its policy completely and essentially will be using one chaplain through the remainder of the session. Ironically, on Thursday, across the rotunda in the Senate pastor talked about some decisions, both personal and political, that seemed to be bringing the wrath of God upon not only the United States, but much of the world. That drew a response from Senate Minority Leader John Sparks, a Democrat from Norman, and Senate Democrats combined, that said that he should apologize for some of the remarks which some members on both sides of the aisle were said to have found offensive.
That's Capital Insider. You can hear more of our conversation on the Capital Insider Extra podcast. Until next time, with Sean Ashley, I'm Dick Pryor.